somehow grip it. When it comes to folk tales of intimacy and heartache, Melbourne's Molly McHugh is a fresh voice on the Australian music scene. Their debut EP, I Couldn't Grasp It, released in mid-2022, and two singles in 2023, Molly's eagerly awaited debut album, It Should Have Been Done With Ease, hit stores on 26th of April.
The choice you made to collapse your heart collapsed me.
It's a beautifully crafted album of mesmerising Celtic-toned folk songs, and she joins us now for a chat about her work. Molly, welcome to the airwaves of Indigo FM.
Thank you, Scott. I'm excited to chat to you.
Yeah, I'm equally as excited. Having listened to your music over the last year or so, really quite intrigued by your art, I guess, and the opportunity to explore that a bit. So congratulations on the release of your album.
Thank you.
I've been really enjoying it, and thanks very much also for the advance listening link. The title would suggest there's been some complexities with your album making it through to being out in the world. Is that what it's referring to?
Well, the title of the album is referring to it's a song title, but I kind of liked it because it sounds a bit intriguing, because you're like, what should have been done with ease and why? I suppose. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a hook, perhaps.
Yep.
But I guess the lyric is a reference to a reunion gone awry and reflecting on it being like it should have been easy.
Yeah, okay.
Something wasn't right, basically.
Yeah.
What the lyric is referring to.
Actually, that's probably something that I suppose when I look through a lot of your song titles, they look like they're just, you know, excerpts or lines that have that hook element, I suppose.
Like long poetic titles for some reason, because I just want it to be a hook to the song, I suppose, rather than a statement about what it's about, right? Rather than an interpretation, just being kind of a bit of a something to pique your interest.
What period of time were these songs written over?
Probably around from like 2020 to 2023, I'd say. I had a lot of time in lockdown to be creative, which was a lovely gift. But I also had a lot of romantic turmoil around that time. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of the perfect storm, really, in terms of songwriting.
Yeah.
So I spent, you know, 2020 and 2021, lots of drama, but also lots of kind of time to process it at home and reflect and catch the songs when they come. You know, I think a lot of people talk about songwriting like they just come to you and you have to kind of wait, but it was good to have a lot of alone time so I could really tap into that, those moments of inspiration.
Yeah, I've heard people refer to songwriting being like that, not being a songwriter myself, but a friend of mine and a musician was telling me about this about 7 or 8 years ago, and I think he heard Neil Young say it, but it's something like, it's like catching a rabbit. You've got to wait by the hole and wait for it to pop out and you catch it, or something like that.
It's very frustrating when it doesn't happen because you can't force it. You just have to kind of, I don't know, set the scene a bit if it does come, like make sure that you've got a nice space to work in and you've got a process and all that stuff. But otherwise,
Cool. The songs are certainly very expressive and intimate, and you've described them as exploring sadness and pain without over-sentiment or mawkishness. And I must admit, I got that feeling when I was listening to it. I didn't think that any of it was over-sentiment or mawkishness. I thought they were just really honest expressions of you're just working through those difficult emotions, and I thought, and it sort of struck me, you know, what is it about this aspect of life experience and relationships that attracts you and has you devoting a whole album to these kind of themes?
I think, I suppose, I don't know how to process things in another format. Like, I do a lot of kind of other writing, but that's not about romance or pain. So for some reason, songwriting it lends itself to these certain types of emotions for me. Like, I would never write a happy song because I just can't. But I think because singing feels like wailing and crying, like it really gets out a lot of pain, like it's very visceral. And also I feel like it's in your body, you know, like you have to express it through your body and process and heal through doing something physical. So singing is kind of perfect for pain and sadness, I'd say, for me personally. But also I know that a lot of other singer-songwriters say the same thing, you know, like once you get happy, you start writing shit songs, you know. I don't know, yeah. It's not true, but that's a bit of, you know, the cliche. Yeah, so I think I'm, I guess, drawn to this subject matter not because, well, not for a decision, but I suppose because it just feels natural to me to sing those emotions out.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. So, do you want to give us a little bit of background, I suppose, about your songwriting and your music journey?
Yeah. Yep. Well, I played violin in primary school, and I went to a Steiner school, so there was like singing every day, lots of folk songs, lots of classical, lots of rounds and harmonies, and yeah, always loved, really loved singing. And then my mum taught me guitar when I was a teenager. And I think I got some lessons and then I just kind of stopped and started kind of teaching myself and learning with my mum. And, you know, singing little silky little covers, like a lot of Dido, lots of folk songs. And then, yeah, started to really want to write my own songs when I was a teenager, but obviously a little bit scared and nervous too and shy. So it was very private for a long time. Then kind of when I went to uni, I didn't do music so much because I was studying an arts degree. But then once that ended, I started to write a little bit in my early 20s and then started to do open mics around Brunswick, I suppose in Melbourne, which is where I live. I mean, just slowly build up a bit of confidence and a repertoire, I suppose. So, yeah, that was like 10 years ago. So I've been working my way up from open mics and then recording and doing proper gigs for about 10 years, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Is there a Celtic music interest in the family or anything like that? Because I do notice there's some, you know, definite tones of that on this album.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because it's, yeah, definitely a massive influence for me. Like both of my parents were folk musicians when they were together and they like divorced when I was a kid. And then my mum started doing more classical, but definitely when I was a little child, there was heaps of folk music around me. And yeah, my dad like runs a folk festival or used to, and is also a folk musician. So lots of trad stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I played like trad violin when I was little. I liked it way more than classical. Used to busk a lot in Croydon, just playing like the same three reels over and over again outside a fruit shop.
Yeah.
And then also I can play the baran. Like I learned that as a teenager at Port Fairy. I got one of the instrument makers to show me how to play it and then got a tipper, which is like what it's called, the stick, and started practicing on a cereal box at home.
Okay.
And then so I've played that on the album as well in one of the songs, which was really cool. It was a bit of a like teenage dream come true, because I used to be obsessed with the band The Corrs, which do a kind of pop Celtic thing, and the drummer in that plays the baran in a lot of their songs. So she was my idol as a teenager.
Yep.
Yeah, so definitely lots of Celtic stuff, which I'm glad came through.
Yeah.
Kind of intentional necessarily, but yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I think on your vocal tone,
Yeah.
The odd song, sort of hear that, but I guess there's a lot of cello. And do you think it's taken a certain amount of maturity to, say, resist the pressure? Like you've put out this album which is really staying true to its intent of exploring sadness and pain, but did you ever have a little voice inside you saying, you know, okay, enough sad songs, here's something nice and light to brighten up your day or anything like that?
Definitely, yeah. There's a lot of quite scary kind of being so, I guess, like bare and like a bit pathetic, you know, in a lot of ways. Like those emotions, I guess, make people feel a bit sorry for you because it's a bit embarrassing or whatever. But, yeah, I think once I've performed the songs enough time, I forget about the lyrics and how kind of sad they are. But yeah, definitely I have in my personal life, I've always been a very melancholic person, and I've always struggled with feeling a bit ashamed of that or wishing that I was a bit brighter and sunnier as a person. But yeah, it's just a disposition, I suppose. Mm. I'm like interested in sadness, and that's fine, I think.
Yeah, I think anything that's an honest expression of what you're feeling and you're finding an avenue to express it, that's extremely healthy to be able to express it via music, I think, has ultimately got to be allowing you to be your best self, really. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, people have a lot of shame about heartbreak or those kind of feelings, and I think it's a bit of an anti-shame exercise for me in some ways to kind of own those feelings and be like, it's fine, everyone is human, and everyone feels these things, and there's no, it's not embarrassing. I mean, it feels embarrassing, but it's not.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's have a listen to one of these tracks right now. I've selected the track I Noticed Your Forearms, and there are some amazing lines in this song. Like, the first time I heard it, I thought, wow, you know, this really powerful lyrics like, I don't want to be weeping on strange skin silently, and then a very succinct line about the choice you made to collapse your heart collapsed me. Well done on coming up with moments like that. It's just
They're very simple, but yeah, I really like them, and audiences tend to respond to those lines as well. You can kind of feel it when you sing to people, when people respond. So yeah, I like how powerful that simplicity is, I think.
Yeah, well, I might just hand it over to you. You can do the official introduction to this particular track.
Sure. You're listening to Molly McHugh, and this track is called I Notice Your Forearms.
It's not that I think you're a trophy, or that I don't want to be free, but I'm just too tired to change anything. I don't want to be weeping on strange skin silently.
such an intimate track. That's Melbourne's Molly McHugh with her track I Noticed Your Forearms. We're chatting to Molly right now about her debut album, It Should Have Been Done With Ease. Molly, tell us a little bit about the recording of this album and some of the people that helped produce it and also worked on it.
So I recorded it with Rowena Wise, who is a, I guess, indie pop folk musician who I've been kind of aware of for a number of years.
Yeah.
Her and her family have always come to Port Ferry Folk Festival.
That's right.
They've often there. So because they're instrument makers, her parents, and both her sisters are also folk musicians who I've seen around a lot. And when I was looking for someone to record with, I worked at a music venue and I asked one of the sound engineers for recommendations, and his friend's with her and she just finished a sound engineering degree and wanted to kind of, you know, start recording with artists. And I was also attracted to working with someone female, I guess because of the songs are so intimate and I knew that I'd probably get emotional when I was recording them. So that was like really nice to kind of find someone who was also a singer and got how it feels to, you know, record your own songs about intimate parts of your life, but also has the skills to record them well. So, yeah, it was a real finding her. And so we recorded it at her house and studio. So it's a home studio. And I just did it a couple of days a week for a few months, I suppose. Yep.
With your vocals, do you do your own harmonies?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So we like usually would do mine and then piece together the best takes because, you know, we'd do like, I don't know, 10 vocal takes depending on how it was going and then piece together a good one, and then, yeah, do the harmonies one by one, I guess from the closest harmony to the highest harmony. And they were kind of written already because I'd been performing these songs for ages before we recorded them. But then for a few songs, we kind of wrote new harmonies, like extra harmonies while we were recording.
Oh, yeah.
That were different to how they performed. So it was really fun to kind of get the basic three-part harmonies because I perform with two girls, so we do three-part harmonies.
Okay, I was wondering about how you produce that live.
Yeah. So like most of the songs we'd been performing together for ages, and once I'd recorded that, it was nice to kind of add in little extras and play around with extra harmonies. So some of the tracks have five or six harmonies on them. Most have three. But yeah, it was very fun to sing to myself because I think everyone sounds good with themselves because you've got the same intonation, you know the song really well. So that was really fun. Yeah.
You also, I noticed Didiri came on and played on a couple of tracks.
Yeah, so we got him in a couple of times to play piano because there's a old piano at their house.
Yep.
And yeah, I think just when we'd finished the tracks, we were just playing around with whatever instruments were around to see what might sound good. And yeah, we got him to play on a couple, and then for I Noticed Your Forearms that we just listened to, we got him to play piano on it.
Yep.
I'd originally recorded it with guitar, got him to play piano on it, and then decided to see what it would sound like with no guitar.
Yep.
Just so it was like a little sparse ballad, and it just sounded really cool. And so then I re-recorded my vocals to go with the piano better. And yeah, it was beautiful. And so that was cool that he was able to do that. And also just break up the album a bit so it's not just constant guitar. You know, there's a bit of diversity.
Yeah. And yeah, he's a pretty good choice, I guess, or would seem to be a very good fit for some of these songs because he's, you know, he excels in many things, but one thing he does excel in is being able to write songs that are, you know, lyrically quite emotional and bare, open. So, yeah.
Yeah, he got it very quickly. You know, he kind of got the vibe of the song really quickly every time. You know, there was no need to explain,
yeah.
Which was nice. Yeah.
Great. Now you have a launch show coming up on Saturday the 11th of May at the Old Bar in Fitzroy.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to have the two harmony singers there and also a guy I play guitar with, Sam, will be playing guitar, and he's from he plays in heaps of punk bands, which doesn't seem like it would be a good fit, but it adds a kind of cool, I guess like a bit of grunginess to the show, and he's great at guitar, and also plays an omni chord on quite a few of the songs, which is a little kind of organ. It was used in Japan to teach children. And yeah, you just, each chord has a button and it's like a really beautiful drone. So yeah, it'll be a nice show. And then violinist Mark will be playing with me as well on a few tracks.
Awesome.
So it should be fun. Yeah, afternoon show at Old Bar, which is one of my favourite Melbourne venues. Lots of sticky carpets and, you know, history.
I think that's the thing with Melbourne. I reckon they especially go around and treat them to put a sticky carpet down, like, you know, they either it's a spray thing or it's just lots of drinks and sweat and all sorts of things.
Last time I was there, my shoe was getting stuck on the floor, like I couldn't even walk. It was perfect. You know, I love it.
Okay. So what time does that show start?
4 o'clock. So there's a opening act, Ali Mack, who's a friend of mine, who sings kind of witchy, angsty pop, a bit 2000s vibes. She's on at 4 and then we'll be on at 5.
Okay, excellent. So the Old Bar Fitzroy, 11th of May, Saturday. And I guess people can find tickets. Would they find them through your Facebook page?
Just on the door.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, rock up, get lucky. $10.
$10. Awesome.
Yeah, bargain.
Yeah, I reckon. Look, I'm actually not even in Victoria on that date, which I'm a bit upset about, but
I'm sure there'll be another time.
Yeah, exactly. But that's room for one more person anyway.
Yeah.
Molly, where can listeners find your music?
So on Bandcamp or Spotify or all streaming services, basically. And I've also printed the album to tape, which was, I suppose, because I wanted to have it printed and vinyl is quite expensive. So I'm selling those for $15.
Okay.
You can order them on Bandcamp or buy them from a record store potentially, although I haven't secured that information yet, and at gigs. And it's a very cute little tape, kind of a nice object, even if you can't play it, I think.
So is it like a cassette tape? Is
that what you mean? Yeah, cassette tape, yeah.
Awesome.
There's a few bands that print to tape, like more like punk scene bands have been printing to tape recently. Like there are a few record stores where there's new releases on tape, which is cool because it's like, it's cheaper for everyone involved. You just have to have the technology to play it, I suppose, but relying on people with old cars here.
All right, let's hear another track and then we'll just finish off the interview. So the one I've picked up is, I think it's track one on your album, which is And On Waking Up It Was Still True, another one of these intriguing titles. do you want to tell us a little bit about what this one's about?
Yeah, it's just about having a dream about forgiving someone and then waking up and feeling forgiving and writing a song about it. And, yeah, I guess that feeling lasted for like a day, but it's good I got a song about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like it. I like it. It's very a bit angsty and waily, and I call it sometimes my PJ Harvey song just because it's a rip-off of her favourite chord progressions. Okay. I mean, not progressions, like style, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, let's have a listen to it now. And thanks very much for joining us, Molly.
Thank you so much for the chat.
That's fine. Best of luck with the launch of your album and also for the show on the 11th of May. And, yeah, thanks for giving us this wonderful gift of an album. This is And On Waking Up, It Was Still True by Molly McHugh. Chocolate.
velvet brown reminds me of your clothing. I stare up at this higher cat on a roof, a branch swaying in shadow. I feel an absence of you.